own dear Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. You will recall from the book of Exodus that Moses was brought into the very presence of God because he turned aside to see something which staggered him in its view. He saw a bush that was on fire, and yet it was not consumed. And as he drew near to such a sight, none other than the voice of God himself gave instruction to Moses, put off the shoes that are upon thy feet, for the ground on which thou art treading is holy ground. As we would read of the sufferings of Christ recorded in the gospel accounts, and in this, hundreds of years before the death of Christ himself, we find ourselves by faith treading upon holy ground. And if not literally, at least by faith, we would cast off our shoes, for the ground on which we tread is holy ground. I'd like us this evening to focus our attention on the words of verse 5 of the Gospel of Christ by Isaiah. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. But upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. And in particular, these words, he was crushed for our iniquities. When we made the Gospel of Christ by John our study, we were but a few verses into the very first chapter when we encountered that he came to his own, but that his own received him not. Perhaps in our generation we have an ability to grasp something of the momentous nature of those words in a way in which previous generations could not. We live in a generation when we hear of the cancel culture. And if a man or a woman should say something which others take offense at, that they can find themselves cancelled and so vilified in public that they either have to issue some groveling apology, or they'll lose their jobs, lose their friends, lose everything that is dear to them. Jesus got there first and was cancelled by the very people that he had come to bless with his presence. He came to his own, and his own received him not. If we can just for a moment conceive of the situation when we are approaching someone with an hand stretched out, wanting to greet them in love and affection, only to be slapped across the face. Perhaps that will give us something of an indication of what the scriptures present us with when it says he was crushed. Not just an individual, one particular person, grievous though that would indeed be. None of us likes to be reviled by any individual. But it is, if it were to be every person that we would encounter, we would indeed ourselves feel something of being crushed. but an entire nation. Implacable enemies. He came to his own, but his own received him not. And who constituted the crowd outside of Pontius Pilate's palace, screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him." He came to his own, but his own received him not. We read as our scripture sentences at the commencement of our time together the words of Psalm 55. And some of you will indeed remember the wonderful choral piece by Mendelssohn, which is a music in my unskilled mind that ably fits the words that are set before us. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away, would lodge in the wilderness. Well, we didn't have time to read the whole of that psalm, but it continues later on. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house we walked in the throng. It seems that Psalm 55 gives us something of a foretaste of the distress of spirit that Jesus must surely have felt when he considers those who have risen up against him. Not an enemy, but his companion, my familiar friend. One even of that band of disciples who had been his constant companions for years, who had listened to his teaching, who had had every opportunity to reflect and to ask their questions of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had seen him with such gentleness and grace heal everyone who was brought together to him. But insulted and beaten, and in those final hours, the very flesh torn from off his back, a trial brought about by perjured accusation after one of his own disciples had betrayed him into the hands of the Pharisees and of Sanhedrin. Mocked by his captors, beaten, there now prophesy, who was it that hit you? Their malice knew no bounds. And then pierced through on a cross. So unbearably brutalized, we hid, as it were, our faces. And even though we do not see him physically, even to read the account makes us turn away even for a moment from that which is depicted for us in black and white upon the pages of Scripture. We find ourselves unable to look upon one so disfigured. But we say it cautiously. We say it reverently. Others have suffered as much. Some even have suffered more than Christ did on that day long ago. And though those who make their living in Hollywood would present to us a picture of the sufferings of Christ so that we might gaze upon it somewhat voyeuristically, it is only the physical suffering of Christ upon which we can gaze. Others have lauded movies that have depicted the physical suffering of Christ and claimed it to be perhaps the best evangelistic tool in the last 2,000 years. No small claim. Should we then show such a film, perhaps even in this place, as part of an evangelistic campaign and invite our neighbours to come and see the sufferings of Christ? Well, quite aside from the fact that it is so clearly a violation of the second commandment, it is to utterly misunderstand the sufferings of Christ. By definition, a movie can only depict what can be shown. So is the physical suffering of Christ all that we might contemplate? The physical suffering of Christ, though great, almost beyond comprehension, those sufferings are all but insignificant in comparison to the mental and the emotional sufferings of Christ. We should not, therefore, distract ourselves by merely viewing the physical sufferings of a man. And though they were great, unspeakably vicious and foul, yet that is not the aspect to which Scripture would draw our attention. We would therefore turn aside from considering the physical sufferings of Christ and give our attention, as best as we are able, to contemplate the deeper sufferings that Jesus met with, the all but overwhelming consciousness of God's anger. You have never experienced that, and if you belong to the Lord Jesus, you never will. Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, "Let the cup pass from me." But that was not possible, and so he drank the cup to its very last drop, so that none is left for you and me. The cup of the wrath of God is empty. How can any movie begin to display that before our eyes? So quite aside from it being a violation of the second commandment, we begin to understand why it is impossible for there to be any depiction of the sufferings of Christ that even begin to show to us what Jesus endured upon the cross. We would by faith look upon the cross and say, yes, Jesus suffered, but we have not yet begun to comprehend its depths. He moved forward in the total absence of all aid or consideration. There was no consolation for him upon the path that he trod. Others might have cried out, "I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me." But in that, the words of Psalm 22, so well known and beloved by us, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" When Jesus took his leave of the disciples, as we read of it at the end of the Gospel of Christ by Matthew, he declares that he will be with us to the end of the age. what we see in Christ is one who is deserted by man. And that is surely distressing. But to be deserted by God, and in the very hour when his need was greatest, he must do battle with all the powers of darkness, and he must stand alone to do it. Consider then the greatness of the contrast. There have indeed been many Christian martyrs, but not one of them went to martyrdom alone. Not one of them went loaded with the imputed corruption of his people, the awful load of sin. So no matter how great the movies are, it cannot enter the place of Christ's true suffering. We fondly imagine that we might endure even a cross, and many before had done so, and many since. But on that lonely path, never trod by the foot of any man before or since, there was no hand stretched out to lend aid. No voice spoke comforting words. He was without the support of his Father, and bereft of the companionship of the Holy Spirit. And as we read from Isaiah chapter 53, it was the will of the Father to crush him. Well, this night we might ask, and what was the object of so lavish a sacrifice? Crushed for our iniquities. God had looked upon his creation and each day pronounced the work of his hands to be good. Once happy and sinless, now as he looked upon this world, corrupt, and showing the scars of their sin, believing the lies of hell, continuing in sin and its afflictions, and those ever greater sufferings that a rejection of the wisdom of God brings into our lives day by day. As Jesus spoke over Jerusalem, if you only knew what belongs to your peace. There is Jesus speaking over Jerusalem that rejected him. If you only knew. Might we not also take these words and say to a world that is lost and perishing, if you only knew what belongs to your peace. But the world doesn't know. The world doesn't want to know. But in wrath he remembered mercy. The mind of God conceived a plan where the justice and the mercy of God would meet. Where the skills of a movie director fail, the Holy Spirit draws aside the veil that we might look upon the immeasurable immensity of the sacrifice of Christ. And in hushed tones repeat, for our iniquities, for our iniquities. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, We do thank thee for the fullness of thy word, that it shows us not only the greatness of the physical sufferings of Christ, but it shows us also that he was separated from thee, that bearing our sins upon the cross, he walked alone under that unimaginable load, in order that he, under thy wrath, should endure the penalty of our sins. Even yet, though we would make thy word our study, even though we would seek to apply not just our minds but our hearts to the study of thy word, we have not begun to comprehend the enormity of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and what it means to say in the words of Scripture that the Lord Jesus was crushed. And he was crushed because it was thy will, Father, to do so, to redeem a people unto thyself. Far be it, O God, from us to boast in the things of this world. Far be it, O God, that we might boast in our arrogance of our own abilities or accomplishments. But if we needs must boast, we will boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in the long annals of the children of men, there is nothing that can compare with the sacrifice of Christ and his love to those who deserved nothing but thy condemnation. Be pleased, O Lord, this night to lay upon our hearts the beginning of an understanding of what it means to say in the words of Scripture that Christ was crushed. And though we would say it in hushed tones, yet would we, O Lord, also recognize, and in our prayers seeking forgiveness for our sins and the mercy which thou alone canst provide, declare it was for our iniquities. Forgive us our sins, we pray, for the sake of thy dear Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. For it is in his name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.